withholding the meeting. So, Atmos, if you'd be so kind as to pray.
Let's open in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this afternoon, this evening, to say thank you for all the wonderful things that you've done and given in this past year. You've brought us through many different things, many different storms, many different blessings. You've taught us all very much. And we know that there's much more to come in the year ahead. We thank you for this new year, and we ask that you would bless it. We ask that you would bless it for our personal lives, for our work lives, for the team, and for all that will happen in this new year. We ask that you would bless the time that we have this evening. Help us to understand what it is we need to understand. Help us to get across what it is you need us to get across. We look forward to hearing from you. We look forward to being with you, your Son, the Lord Jesus, and the Holy Spirit during this time. And we just ask that the three of you would be with us, bless this time, and we look forward to the next one. We're glad this one's here. We love you so much in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so I will read Father's message. I talked with him on Friday, and wouldn't you know that his message aligns perfectly with this morning's text? Go figure. Pure coincidence. My very dear family, Happy New Year and blessings to you and your families. How shall I start my message to you? Well, let us talk briefly about the watchword for the year. 1 Peter 4:10. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. I feel that it is very self-explanatory. Basically, give to others what I have given you. Serve like your brother Jesus, selflessly. Give of your time and effort to help others. Be the soul that I have seen you become. You do not need to be a guardian to fulfill this watchword. When I created your soul, I already had laid gifts within you. Seek them out, find them, and use them. The theme I would like to underline for this year is selflessness. How is that word defined? Concern more with the needs and wishes of others than with one's own. I am fully aware that last year brought many of you hardships, anguish, depression, pain, suffering, and a feeling of loss. I have given all of you the strength to bear all of this within this year. The time is shorter than you think. My plan must move forward. I am not laying a guilt trip on you, as someone might say. I am bringing into light some of the suffering you experienced. Now that it is in the light, you can move forward with the confidence that you can heal, that you can help others, that your purpose on earth is not for yourself, but for others. Read in scripture how Jesus was, how he served. This is what I ask from all of you this year. I have given all of you a servant's heart. Now I give you a heart like Jesus. What does that mean? It means that you now have more love, compassion, empathy, grace, understanding, strength to endure, and a new can-do attitude. Also, an undying urge to complete the tasks I have given you. Do not, or do you understand what I am asking? I know you do. With a heart like Jesus, you now have more hope and determination. You have a heart that can bear long suffering. That does not mean I am going to make you suffer in some way. No, it does not. It means that you can take on more and help carry the load for others' sake. You were created to protect and serve in numerous capacities. Many of you are serving. Others now have the opportunity to serve more. Serve, serve, and serve is what I need from you, please. I am so immensely proud of all of you. Many of you have suffered through physical disabilities, psychological disabilities, and financial disabilities. And look now and see, you have come through these times. So much more good is waiting for all of you this year. All I ask is that you do not think of yourself, but that you think of others. Ask yourself this question when you wake in the morning. What can I do to help Father's plan come to completion today? I will tell you, yes, I will. Try it and see what comes next. I have always assured you that all four of us are here for you. We support, strengthen, and encourage you to succeed, but you are the ones that need to support my plan, or it will never come to an end. By now, you have seen that the U.S. has a new district apostle. He has a different heart than the past few have had. What does that mean? All I will say is that his heart is like Jesus's heart, too. He is a true servant and a lover of the souls. Watch now how he will quietly or gently remove the spirit of the world from our church and allow HS to fill the church with our spirit. There will come a time when he will ask you to support his new actions. I encourage all of you to support him and the apostolate. Dear children, my blessing now will drape over you through this year. Much will change for the better in all of your lives so that you can serve others. Wait and see. I cannot bless the lazy, but I certainly will bless the workers. Now, once again, know that I, Jesus, HS, and Triland love all of you very much. Now, off to work with all of you. Ha ha ha. Any questions?
Closer.
Any comments?
Beautiful.
Do you post that or can we get a copy of that? I don't remember. Is that on the website?
It'll be on the website. Yeah.
Good.
All of them are after every meeting.
Yeah.
I know there's the, so it's part of the transcript?
Yes.
Okay.
That was nice.
Yep.
But I thought too. He wasn't chewing us out. Yay.
Yeah. And the Bible verse for the service today. How appropriate. Jesus right. Washing the feet of the disciples. Servant. Beautiful.
Muted.
No, that's mute.
Thailand, real quick question. Did you have anybody that you asked to provide input from over the last month or two since we've been away? I know you asked me to share some things. Did you have anybody else that you wanted to share?
Yes, there are a couple other people, but if you want to share what you've got and then say it's open to anybody else, then they can all just chime in when they want to.
Okay. All right. So last month, had the opportunity to meditate, and while I was doing so, Jesus asked me to go to a realm with him. And so I went to a realm, and it was the realm of the unsupported. And what it was interesting because I've never seen this before. Typically, when I go to a realm, I just stand there and try to be bright as I can. And Jesus doesn't always go with me. I don't say anything because I know we don't have to. And I've never been prompted to say anything. And I wasn't prompted to say anything this time either, but Jesus was with me and he started talking to those in this realm. And this realm was horrible because the realm of the unsupported is a giant lake with logs floating in the lake. And everyone is trying to get up on their log and stay on their log. And they keep rolling off and falling back into the water. They had no support in life. They had no support whatsoever, never felt supported. And so now they're in this realm, and it was brutal. Jesus came in and he put a solid floor in at the kind of like at the where we came into the realm. He put a solid floor down. And then he asked me to start helping people, asking people to come and reach out their hand. And he asked those that were out there, he started telling them about himself and about Father and the Holy Spirit and you know, just a little bit of everything. And he asked them that, you know, if they wanted to move on and they were ready, they could reach out their hand and we would help pull them onto this solid ground. And so as I was, he asked me to start reaching out and grabbing hands. So I started grabbing hands and just helping people. It's probably about a dozen or so people that I was helping pull onto this solid platform. And they started all listening to Jesus. And as I was pulling folks in, it started to get bigger and bigger and bigger and more people. And then there was a hand coming up out of the water and that I grabbed a hold of, and I pulled up out of the water, and it was a demon. And it came at me and tried to attack me. So I destroyed it. And that was when I learned that demons don't have any boundaries. There's no rules. I shouldn't say there's no rules, but there's very little boundaries and rules for them. They torture people here. They torture people there. They just really have no bounds. So, and that was one of the things that Jesus wanted me to understand, was that demons aren't just here. It's the first time I've personally ever experienced that. I know talking to Charlie, he said he experienced it. But after we had done that, and everyone that wanted to reach out to Jesus had reached out to him, he helped them and let them ascend to the next realm. And it was just like, boom, gone. They all just disappeared. They were gone out of that realm. So it was a pretty amazing experience. And it was really cool to be able to help Jesus, almost like a disciple. It was kind of cool. So
kind of.
Yeah.
Kind of. I've never seen that. Usually when you go in and you leave and they're in the same state. That's pretty cool.
It was awesome. Like I said, the first time I had ever been prompted to help in any way other than just standing there. So
every time I've gone in, well, the one realm that I've gone into, the one that haven't been forgiven, I've helped, or it's been something that I've.
Yeah.
But it's the first time I've ever been into a realm, so.
So that was my experience. Anybody else have anything they'd like to share?
I'll go.
Oh, okay.
Please.
So I meditated this past week, and I went into the same realm, which is, I have that tunnel in my third chakra where I can go into the realms of the departed. I've had it from the very beginning of whenever we started meditating. And I've been going into the same realm, which is the realm of the unforgiven. And I went back into this one, and when I walked in, there was like lines of people lined up waiting to burn their letters or burn whatever they've written down to be forgiven. And once they burned it, they kind of turn into this like white, dusty light. And then they kind of go to another realm. They kind of like disappear. And then as I was standing there, I noticed that there's a really dark corner. So I was like, okay, I'm going to go visit this dark corner. So I went over there and I started a fire. And I just started talking to them about being forgiven and how God has already forgiven you. Jesus has already forgiven you. They love you. Like, we can get past this. I'm here to help you. Just encouraging them. And this one spirit, at the time I didn't know it was a man, he said, can you help me? And I'm like, sure, I can help you. So I sat down with him and I said, you know, what do you want to write? And he goes, well, I don't know yet. And I'm like, okay. So I just put my arm around him. Well, when I did that, I got like a very uncomfortable, dreaded feeling in my stomach. And at that moment, Father started talking to me. And he said, there's a demon. And I'm like, okay, it's either in him or it's around him somewhere. And he's like, there's a demon. And he's like, and you're going to remove it. And I said, I'm going to do what? Hold it, what? I'm going to do it. He said, you're going to remove it from him by placing your hand on his chest. And I was like, no, hold on. I'll be out in a minute, okay? What? Sorry, kids.
I thought maybe she was talking to Father again.
That would be the time to get up and get popcorn if that's what you were needing. All right, come on, let's go.
Yes, we do. Yes, thank you. I know. Thank you. Sorry, our power went out earlier and he was really worried about us not having water. And we have water in the garage and he wanted to make sure that we knew about that.
Excellent.
So there you go.
Gotta be gone.
Anyway, so he told me I'm going to remove it by putting my hand on his chest. And I was like, no, no, I don't know how to do that. And he goes, I'm going to show you. And he goes, and you are going to do this. He goes, you have seen it firsthand. You have seen demons be removed out of your family. You have seen demons be removed out of multiple people. You have heard it. He goes, you believe it and you can do it. You're Aria. And I'm like, And at first I wanted to say, but I'm not worthy of that. And then I stopped myself and I'm like, okay, if you want me to do this, this is what I'm going to do. I said, but you're going to have to walk me through it. So I put my hand on his chest and, I said, you know, by the power of God, I tell you to remove or to leave him, or however I said it. And the demon came out of him and he sat next to him and I got my sword out, cut it off, you know, fizzled away or whatever. And then I sat back down and I put my arm around this gentleman. And as I was sitting there with him, he started to glow brighter and brighter and brighter. And I'm like, okay, wow. And he goes, I know what I can write now. And I'm like, okay, let's write it. And he wrote, forgive me for I know not what I do. And at that moment, I realized it was the man on the other cross next to Jesus when he was crucified. And he was able to put his letter in the fire and it burned. And there he goes. He went to wherever he went next. And I just sat there like, and you know, Father told me, he goes, you were going to be able to do this here and there. But he said, I want you to come back here and I want you to learn more. You need to practice. You need to learn how it feels. You need to understand the power that you have. You need to know what is right, what is wrong, when to use it, when not to use it. And he goes, so I want you to come back. You're going to practice and you're going to learn. He goes, it's not time for you to use it on earth yet. And I'm like, I'm okay with that. So, and then I left the room.
Wow. Wonderful.
Nice.
Really neat. Wow.
You got to love it when Father just drags you into the thick of things.
Right. He just kind of was like, and here you go. Now's the time. Gonna do it.
Man, he knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
Starlight and I were having a conversation about something that she experienced at work, and I asked her if she would share that with all of you. Drum roll.
So, and this was before I knew anything about Father's message and all that. Earlier in the week, my boss, she had sent an email out to all of us on our team and, you know, just talking about the new year and, you know, and how people sometimes they have New Year's resolutions and all of that. But she wanted us to think about one word that is going to describe us in the new year. Or like a behavior or whatever. It could be anything. And I sat on it for a while and I was just trying to think of like a word for whatever the year was going to hold. And originally I had the word present in my mind, like being present, but I thought, no, that's not it. And so I finally came up with the word intentional. And I had to write like just a couple sentences, nothing fantastic. You know, but a couple sentences describing why this word is important. And I had said that I'm going to be intentional in the things that I do in my personal life and my work life. And with being intentional, you're present in the things that you're doing. But by being intentional, you have a purpose of what you're doing, whether we're a guardian or however we are in the world here. And I just said, you know, just leading, being intentional with whatever I'm doing, because it could be the smallest little thing or a huge thing, but you don't realize the impact that you have on someone. And in that moment, you may not even realize that you actually touched somebody or helped them or whatever it may be. But because you were being intentional in what you were doing and being present and being there, you did something. Like you helped somebody. So, and then I just sent it, you know, and my boss comes back with, wow. And she said, that's my word actually, is intentional. And she said, I never really thought about it that way, that you can, if you being intentional with what you're doing, you don't, she says, I never realized that you could actually, that you're impacting other people without even realizing it. So just, that's it.
So one of our intentions this year is to be selflessness, right? Mm-hmm. What's our intent? Thought that was nice of her to share that. So thank you.
Nice.
Thank you.
So along with that, we watched the service in Kitchener, and Priest Wagner held that service. And I'd never heard him before. We haven't watched very many Canada services because we haven't really watched many services online. But we wanted to do that today. And what he served was everything and anything that we do when the Holy Spirit is working in us, the smallest thing that we think, oh, it's just, we're just being nice and we want to do this because we want to help. And everything that we do has an impact, and it's greater than we can ever imagine. And so that's just what you said, basically. Mm-hmm. Nice. One other thing he said that was kind of interesting. He said that when someone is doing something that helps a lot of people, all of those people benefit, but depending on the intentions or he didn't say intentions, but the motivation of the person, they might not be doing it for the right reasons. But the fact that they are doing it is still of a blessing to others.
Interesting.
All right.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Nick, you want to jump in?
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I'm sorry. Well, no, please go ahead. I didn't know if there was anybody else that had stuff to share.
Yeah, I had a couple, well, one main experience. So around my birthday, Trylon reached out and he and I talked a little bit about how, you know, I appreciate your guys' level of understanding with my sort of hiatus with my guardianship this year. And I had a good number of discussions with Father, figuring things out, getting back to where I need to be. And he's helped me a lot with that too. Along with that, I started feeling pretty terrible yesterday, just picked up some stomach bug. And while waiting to, I won't go into too much detail, but waiting to get sick, started talking to Father saying, you know, I understand if this, like, if I have to experience this burden, I get that. But if there's any way that you can help me out, just take this from me. That'd be great. And shortly thereafter, you can probably guess what happened. So after all is said and done, started relaxing, just trying to, you know, keep my head straight. Had the thought to, you know, while I'm just sitting there doing nothing physically, I might as well do something spiritually. So I had the thought to start cleansing more countries again, because it's been too long since I've done that. And no specific country was coming to mind. So the thought came to me, you know, just head up into space, clear the earth. It's been a long time since I've done that. So I went up and sat on the moon, sent a pog wave out of my heart through the earth. And normally when I clear an area, I make like a net that goes around it. And I cinch it closed, and any evil that's caught in it just, it like implodes. That didn't happen this time. It was more of a wave, like a burst of energy, rather than a net that went around it. So I didn't think about stopping it. I just let it go. And it passed over the earth and kept going. And the thought came to me that a while ago, when we had been removing just gobs and gobs of portals from the earth, a few of us were hurling them into space or onto other planets. So I just watched it go, let it continue. And I see just hundreds of portals flying out of these other planets and into our solar system. And it didn't stop. The pog wave just kept going. So I looked out even further and it continued and continued through our entire galaxy, which I didn't even know was possible. Never had the thought to do that before, but it just kept going. And it was such an amazing thing to see.
We just pissed off aliens contacting us now.
Right? Thanks, Nuke. Appreciate it.
It's funny you say that.
The entire universe.
Yeah. When I shared that with Lauren, she said, oh, did you see any aliens while you were up there?
Now he's just saying that we need to throw all of the portals to the sun so they burn up. Stop throwing them to other planets and just out in the galaxy. Like, make a point to put it somewhere where it's going to explode.
Yeah.
No more moon, Diane.
I know, right? That was one time.
Go further than that.
I do. I go to the sun most of the time.
Good.
Yeah.
Anyone else have anything they'd like to share?
Yeah, I can share. Rick was adopted. Lexi Rick.
Yes.
Was adopted on the 31st. And it was quite funny because he's only attended the Orlando congregation a handful of times, even though they've been watching the church services online for 2 or 3 years. And afterwards, everybody was saying hello and all that. And I was there. I happened to get enough energy to go. And it was just funny to see the reaction because Orlando's a pretty tight congregation. There's a lot of transient members that come in and out, but they're all very friendly. It wasn't anything weird or anything, but it was afterwards. He was like, that's really weird. Like, everybody wanted to say hello. I'm like, you're a brother now, you know, and, you know, he's been in the hospitality business and restaurants. So he's familiar with being around people and being around people that, you know, are appreciative of him for what he does. But I think that's the first time he's experienced just, you know, a joy and a welcoming nature just for being him. The activity has died down a little bit, but it's interesting. They're still with the electronic equipment turning on and off. You know, I ask Father daily, you know, what can we do? And the answers are, they just got to work through this. You know, and there's sometimes if they're in a demon is in them or there is a presence, I can go through it and I'll remove it. But I told them, I said, it's possible that you're letting these things in. And you try to imply that they're allowing these spirits in without smacking them, right? You want to correct the inexperienced with a gentle hand, not, hey, you know, you're doing this yourself, right? And then they both acknowledge that there's some things that they're going to do. And what's interesting is when it gets really bad, it's usually Satan himself showing up. So that's when I usually step in. But they were not bugging me, but they were contacting me almost every day. And it's been quiet this week. So I ring out to them and like, what's going on? I haven't heard from you. I'm like, oh, it's okay. The activity's less, but, you know, we're generally okay. He started a new job finally. He's going to be a car salesman. So he's working for the Lincoln dealership up here in a fancy schmancy neighborhood. So he goes, I only get 5 to 6 days off a month. So, and his hours, he's got 12 and 14 hour days for like 8 to 9 days at a time. I'm like, wow. So I did that when I was in my 20s. He's in his 40s. So it's interesting, that dynamic. But he said that he needs to do whatever he needs to do. She's doing well. Of course, she took a video and sent it to all the Verwangers and Lighters and everybody up in Illinois. They're all very pleased she became a member. That's what's going on with them. They've been my pet project, so to speak. And, you know, they're excited. They've gone a couple times without me being there. Liz and Sam had a little luncheon on the 1st, and they were supposed to be there, but they imbibed a little bit too much at the party they were invited to, so they showed up late. But they did meet the rector and his wife and a couple other members, so it was nice. Yeah. And what's What's funny, he goes, that's really early for us. I went, I know, 10 o'clock's really early. He goes, no, it's really early for us. He goes, we're like, we don't go to bed till like 7. I said, oh, well, wow. Come when you can. If you want to, you know. So they showed up very blurry-eyed, and it was great. We had a good time. So that's the update on the Rick Lexi thing.
Good. We're still praying for him, too.
Cool. Yeah, and I'll send updates to the team. But right now, I think the main thing is, I don't know when the Apostle is going to be in town for his sealing. They know that the activity will drop once that happens. But, you know, and they know this is a personal test more than most people in their experience. I mean, they really have an interesting depth of understanding of what God wants them to do. And every time things come out of their mouth, like, well, this is what we need to do to prove that we're worthy. It's like, you know, please don't open the door. I'm on a meeting. Leave me alone.
It's Christ-like.
I put the do not disturb sign out there too. It never fails. Anyway, my point is they have an understanding that is, it blows me away. And I know it's the support of the team and everybody in Orlando and their family that is giving that, because most people that would be experiencing the electronics turning on and things flying around the room would be scared out of their brains, and they just take it in stride. I mean, to be quite honest, if my door cracks here, I'm like, what, you know? And of course I put my shield up and start pogging the snot of everything. And they want to know what their purpose is. I mean, they really are truly hoping for a good end. And they won't give up. They've said, we're not going to give up. And I shouldn't be surprised by that. But every time they say stuff like that, I'm just like, wow, their faith is just amazing. So they're on a good journey, very good journey.
Nice.
It's good to hear. Glad things are getting better. Anybody else have anything they'd like to share?
I was just going to say, she's new apostolic, right?
Yeah. Sam actually was her Sunday school teacher up in Palatine, up in Illinois. Mm-hmm. So yeah, she's her grandparents, Val and Paul Leiter.
Right. Yeah.
Is who I worked with in the 80s. And then Carol Berwanger and Dave Berwanger are, you know, they're the ones that had the youth events probably when you were,
right,
you know, a young person.
I hear it sounds really familiar.
Big house. So you have five generations, and then she's got her kids that, you know, they're trying to get back custody from her husband, but her first husband. But yeah, I mean, they've got a long history, and she's not as familiar. There's a gap. There's a 20-year gap. But she's, you know, they study, and he got his NAC Bible. So he's got all the cool blue highlights in there. So, and you know, they'll pop up the questions sometime, just ask me. But yeah, she's got a good history.
Yep.
Anything else? If not, I have a quick question for everybody. And I just was curious if anybody else has been watching that series, The Chosen. I know we've talked to a couple different folks about it. I just was curious if anybody else watched it. Thought it was interesting because the word soon came up in the series in the exact same way that it has for Tryland. Previously.
That's sick.
So I thought that was, I just noticed Father adding a little dash of things here and there for us specifically. I thought it was pretty funny.
Well, now we got to watch it.
We started the first season.
Not just because of Soon, but it's a very good show. Like,
yeah, that's the main reason now.
It puts the emotional aspect of what we've all grown up with and the Bible and Jesus, and it puts like the emotional face to it, if that's what you want to say.
One of the things that I think that I really got from it was watching Jesus walk on the water and Peter walk out to him. I never put two and two together in the way that I put two and two together when I was watching that specific scene, because as Peter's walking out to Jesus and he looks away from Jesus, he takes his eye off Jesus for just a second and he sees the storm. He sees the waves crashing and the wind blowing, and that was all it took. And he immediately started sinking. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like it just hit me like a ton of bricks. I was like, why did I never put two and two together like that before? I'm like, I've heard that so many times and I never visualized it the way that that this show was able to do that. And it really, it's almost like going to listening to a sermon each episode. There's always little pieces, I think, that Father has for us. So sometimes they're big, sometimes they're small, but there always seems to be something in there in each one of them. So
nice.
Yeah
Fritz talked about it, and Kathy, they're like, how come you're not watching it? And went,
it's a very good show.
I need an attention span longer than 5 minutes to watch something. So
this will draw you in.
There's 1, 2, and 3. Season 4 is coming into theaters in February.
Well, we started it when they just had the first season, and then it's like you had to wait and buy the second one or go to the theater.
Yeah.
Oh.
And now I think they're
there's out. 1, 2, and 3 out.
Good. Yeah. Okay.
We're cheap, so that's why we've been waiting.
Well, if you have Amazon Prime, you can watch them all.
All right.
Does it have commercials?
Not on Prime, no.
Yeah, the second.
Second.
Yeah, okay. I think, we had to buy it.
And then season 4 comes out in theaters on the 4th. I don't know how they're releasing, or not the 2nd of February. I don't know how they're working that. But anyways, I just was wondering if anybody else had watched it, because we've gotten quite a bit out of it, and was wondering if anybody else had either. So
we did. It was good.
Yeah, and what I think is nice about it, you can tell that they prayed about, well, they tell the stories that we know, they're in the Bible, and every other story about Jesus, he only states what's written in the Bible, because they want to be correct. Right. But this, it develops the story, and it's a reasonable story. Mm-hmm. It makes sense, and it makes you feel good. It's like, yeah, they're just like us. They're just normal. Yeah. But mm-hmm. they didn't do anything drastic or strange. Right. It was just comfortable.
And it gives Jesus the sense of humor that he actually does have.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that was another thing that I was kind of blown away by, because in the Bible, you don't get a sense of humor from anybody.
Right. Yeah.
That's true.
Emotional picture. Like, it gives you the emotional, like, you can see when they're having a good time. You can see when they're upset. You can see when they're contemplating, or when they're like figuring out, like, why don't you believe what he's saying? Why aren't you listening to what he's saying? You know what I mean? Like, it gives you that whole concept of, instead of just reading words, which are good, don't get me wrong, but it's putting like a backbone to it. It's giving you something to hold on to, I guess, if that makes any sense. I guess it did for me.
Visual. People are
visual. Well, not only that, it's invoking the emotion of what that person was feeling during that situation, or may have been feeling during that situation. And I think that really changes the storyline and a lot of what Jesus was trying to get across in some places. You'll hear that over the altar too. Somebody will say something that Jesus, quoting Jesus out of the Bible, or trying to get across what he had said. And sometimes it'll hit you like, whoa, yeah, I guess that, from an emotional sense, that really hits home. But this is more like, hey, now I understand why they were doing what they were doing. Now I understand why the apostles were, the jealousy issue was there with Jesus loves me more than you.
Right.
Yeah,
like, why are they doing that? But now you start to have a little bit of empathy for them and what they had to go through as well.
Well, it's nice. I didn't see this, but I talked with, I think, Dwayne, and he said that someone, I don't know if it was him or not, but said that the actor who played Jesus was interviewed and said, so how did you go about doing this? And he said, well, I prayed. And then I prayed, and then I prayed, and I prayed again. And before every scene, I would pray, and what I wanted to do it the right way. The only way you can do it the right way is ask for help and then let it be. And oh, that was beautiful, you know, and you can tell, you can tell this, the way that it's done.
Yeah. Yeah, you can. And I know there's a documentary out there about how he actually prepared to play the role and what it's been like for him after the role, because people come up to him, they're like, Jesus. And he's like, oh no.
Well,
so anyways, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to get us down a rabbit hole there. I just was curious if anybody else had watched it. It's so been powerful for us. So
hopefully he's married, because dating is going to be difficult.
Yeah, right.
That's a lot of pressure to put on a dude.
Yeah, no kidding.
Hey, I want to share one thing that I realized in service today. Never had I thought of this before. But when we were praying the Lord's Prayer, well, let me back up. I haven't been me for a while, okay? And I would apologize for any outburst or anything that I was doing. But I felt like, you know, okay, just come on, just get there. What's your problem? But I haven't been dealing with things very easily. And I felt like I regressed. And I knew that. And I don't know. We read each other's thoughts. And I always know what she's thinking. And I'll say something. I know. I'm going to try. And she said, thank you. Because I know she's thinking about it. So in the service, we're praying the Lord's Prayer. And we pray, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. I have never really had any debtors that I could think of, because, you know, you just forgive. You don't worry about it and you move on. And if anybody offends you or whatever, you just move on. I never really thought of that. And as soon as I said that, I thought of someone who offended me. Okay. And it hurt. And I hadn't gotten over it. And I realized right then, and in that prayer, forgave. And it was like, man, I was light as a feather. I mean, it was I was burdened and I didn't even know it. And I think I'm even acting different.
Yeah, but you're good now.
But the point is, if we don't feel right, there's something wrong. So, and I knew there was something wrong, but I couldn't figure it out. I think many of us have been there before, but I'm now more aware that if I feel off, I've got to just start digging and figure it out. Thank you.
Thank you.
What, I have a question for you. What during that moment, when you said it, what made you, like, what did you think or what did you do? Because there's a lot I want to get rid of, but I never thought of doing it during the Lord's Prayer.
Well,
a lot of people have hurt me, right?
Interesting. Okay. So I've never had that before where I have kept it, but
okay.
The person appeared in front of me. You know, I mean, okay. I thought of them and I thought, oh my goodness.
Okay. All right. And
just
I'll try to use it as a tool, because meditating is apparently not helping me with the past. But maybe doing it, letting it go during the Lord's Prayer is a tool that I can use. So thank you for sharing.
Do you go into your library, John, and go through your books?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was just in my library. Yeah, I go regularly. I have a wood chipper and a leaf blower. And I take the books out from the different parts. And I have a crowbar that I have actually dismantled bookcases and shredded them. And yeah, there's a lot of weird things going on with the past and the
people. Supposed to face it, John, not destroy it.
I remodeled my library just this last week too, because I had it wrong. I wanted the past closer to deal with, so I had to, it was long and I made it kind of wide so I can get at everything more easily, because there's a lot of things, obviously, I'm not going to reiterate my past, y'all know it, but there's some things I want to get rid of. And it seems to me, I get lost in the thought of doing it rather than just doing it. You know, I'm gonna, and then something, look, a fly, and you know, so, so yeah, but
can I ask you a question? So, with any one of those things, do you see what going through or dealing with that situation did for you in a positive way?
Yes. And okay. The only reason why I'm revisiting it is because if I talk about it, there used to be really negative emotion. Now there's almost none. But when it comes back up, it's so real and live and raw that it's distracting. And it sits in my craw. And that's where that's where I feel I have to revisit it, right? Because I can talk about many different things and you daydream and it's no big deal. But there are some specifics that, you know, just like even talking on New Year's Eve, talking to the bus driver about a particular experience. And I'm like, I thought I got over that, but apparently it's still sitting there. It's an open nerve, right?
With that said, what is there, ask Father if there's something else that you potentially need to learn from that.
Okay. All right. That's fine.
In my past and dealing with things from the past, I will make a list of like a list of people if you had, and then when you're saying the Lord's Prayer, then that list just sort of goes with that. But what also I know with dealing like with your past and different hardships or whatever that you've had or with people, for me, it's never been a one and done. Because like you said, you speak of it and then all of a sudden something else comes back up with it. Because when you forgive them, you're forgiving that certain piece, but then maybe there's other pieces to whatever situation or whatever it is, you may have to forgive on different levels. So it might take a few different times.
So I'm not alone because I thought.
Oh no.
Okay.
That's really interesting.
We've all been there. We've all had it.
Yeah.
I haven't.
You're not alone at all.
Don't let him fool you.
Well, it's good. We try not to bring up all the past, but I like this discussion because I sometimes think maybe that's the hindrance of why I'm not healed yet. Is it something I've done or not learned yet? And now I'm trying to dig down in the minutiae. And, you know, because Father tells me, you know, we're so close, don't give up. We're, you know, and that's his main message every time I see him every day. Don't give up. Do not give up. You know, and that he'll say it. And one time he shook me. That's something when the creator of the universe grabs you by the shoulders and shakes you. I mean, I actually felt the physical, like I was shaking in my chair. And he goes, look at me. Do not give up. I'm like, okay, sheesh, I'm right here. You know, but then as soon as I leave, there's that, okay, you know, but I will reiterate to myself on what needs to be revisited. And I will do that, Dan, as to what else do I have to learn from that? Because I'm typing as you're talking.
I'm thankful that we're talking about this because for myself, this week has been a great reflection of my past, where I convinced myself that some of the things that had happened to me were not that big a deal when they were. And I've been working through seeing it as it really was, that it was a big hurt. It was a big deal. And now I'm accepting that and working through it too. So I appreciate everybody talking about this.
Yeah, it's a hard thing to go through. Like, we know that we can't dwell on the past, but there are a lot of heartaches, hardships, and traumas that we have to relive in a way so that we can heal from it.
And what's interesting is this discussion goes exactly opposite of what we were told to do this year. Don't be selfish.
You can't fix other people's crisis until you're fixed. I mean,
right. And again, I can be selfless, but I need to be selfish sometimes too, because it's very easy to go outward and to help others, and because helping yourself is a little bit more difficult, you know? So it's interesting. But I was just thinking when Dan brought it up during the Lord's Prayer, I'm like, oh, I never thought of doing it then.
Yeah. You gotta put on your own oxygen mask before you can help others.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a great scenario. Right. Right.
And it's interesting that it comes up for so many of us, because I've struggled, you know, over the last 6 to 8 weeks with the same thing, letting go of the past and moving forward. And it's been a huge subject over the last probably 2 weeks for me, maybe 3 weeks for me. And I've had a friend down here that I never knew had a faith. And he's shown me that he has a bigger faith than I could have ever imagined. And he's helped me along through, you know, the last couple of weeks, really, really getting in tune with, you know, hey, here's what I've done over the years. Here's how I've handled things. And he's like, man, you got to take that rearview mirror off that window, rip it off that window and throw it out the door. He goes, because Father's forgiven you for that stuff. It's forgotten. You have to forget it. You have to let it go. He said, when you bring it back up, it upsets Father. If we think about it in that way, it actually upsets him, because we're bringing up old things that he's forgotten about.
Well, that's how we've always been taught.
And he doesn't understand why we're ruminating on it when it's no longer an issue, or shouldn't be.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, Dan, go ahead.
Well, no, I didn't mean to interrupt. I just said that's how we've always been taught, though. Forgive and forget and move on and don't bring it back up, because...
Right.
Like you said, but you got to deal with it first before you can do that.
Not only that, that's but the fact that you can't said, just be though,
like, oh, thanks for doing that.
But no, right. My point is like Starlight said, though, sometimes there's other parts to it. And I never thought of it that way. You know, you forget. Of course, Father's forgiven us for whatever, you know, and we have to forgive and realize the situation. But as you said, there may be other parts to it that we can't quite get there yet, or haven't gotten there yet. And I never thought about it that way.
For a big example for me was, y'all know my real dad and how he just kind of walked away from me. Not you. You're mine.
No, that's not, your real
not her true dad.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Real and biological are different.
Right.
He's the real.
Well, my real dad is Jamie. My biological dad is, you know, the one that's in Florida. So anyway, so you all know what he did when I was younger and how that all ended, right? And through meditation and through my library and all that, I was able to get past it, work through it. And then we had kids. And then I took what my dad did to me, and I thought he was going to be that. And I mean, we had some serious conversations. We had breakdowns. There were some serious moments. Like, I think Jeremiah was probably 2, almost 3 years old. So it wasn't that long ago where we had to come to moments and I had to come to realization, like, he's not my father. This is not my dad. He's not going to be that way. You know what I mean? Like, so it comes up, like, you think you forgot it. You think it's gone.
Yeah.
And then it comes back when something happens.
And that's
all those triggers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's amazing how Satan uses just even the smallest little things to tweak your nipples, right? He'll give you a purple nipple and you're like, dang it. and then it just lingers and it gets worse and worse and worse.
Yep.
You allow it. And that's one of the things that I've been working on, is the same as you, Trisis. How do I let these things go? I know I've been forgiven. And that's really the biggest thing is I know I've been forgiven. Help me let go of it. That's, you know, and it sounds like we've all had different levels of issues of letting go. And we're not all the same. And there's different tactics for everything. So we'll be praying for you, man, because I know it's not easy.
But think of one other thing. When things come up sometimes, I know that things might come up because, you know, Satan wants us to remember that and remember how we were and, you know, make us fail again. Or we're doing something that's really close to, and I'm talking about myself right now and not anybody else, okay? Something that we're doing is really close to the stuff that I've already gotten over that. And I've already overcome that. And I'm not that person anymore. And then these little things creep up and you don't even notice it until, I was going through my office and purging, and I was coming across things, and I was thinking, the feeling I had about all this stuff, I still have. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of like a reminder that, you know, we're not done yet. You know, we're not well done. Yeah. You know,
you can measure your past this way. If when that thought comes and it hurts, or there's an emotion still associated with it, you still need to work on it. If you can think about it and it doesn't affect you in any way, you're done and you can move on.
Hmm. Perfect.
Yeah. I've had at times where you work through things and think you're good with it. And all of a sudden you hear like the little voice, and who knows, could be Satan, could be whatever. And all of a sudden, like, it'll be like a thought. And then all of a sudden, like, I'll be triggered, insecurities. My brain is like, blah, 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 and I'll be like, no, stop it. Stop it right now. No. And then it shuts off and moves on. Like, I know I've already gone through it all, but it's just like that. And I'll literally tell my brain to stop. Stop it. Stop it right now.
Yeah. Good. And that's one thing I've learned too, is almost to let your thoughts, like, your thoughts are going to come no matter what. Right. And so one of the things I learned was, imagine that you're in a movie theater sitting there eating popcorn, and your thoughts are playing on the screen, and you're watching them come. You see the thoughts. You're just like, okay, I'm thinking about that now. Doesn't mean it has to sit here and be ruminated on, and it can go along its way onto the next thought. That's easier said than done, but it's just something I've been working on too.
Someone said this week, your brain is not who you are.
Thank goodness.
Yeah,
it's your worst nightmare. It's not who you are. Your subconscious is not who you really are, but it retains everything, and then it brings it to light. Be mindful of your thoughts. That was pretty much what he was trying to say.
Yep.
Interesting.
Good stuff.
Very good.
For sure.
Thank you.
It's okay. Like,
anybody have anything else they'd like to share? We've got two or three minutes left here.
I will interject.
Audio. Mile.
January birthdays.
I got them all.
Are Kathy on the 9th, Nuke celebrated on the 12th, and Aquos is on the 22nd. Aquos has come off of his leave, and so he's back full bore. Nice. So happy birthday to everybody.
Happy birthday. All right. With that, Trisus, I've been prompted since about the middle of the meeting to ask if you'd like to close for us, but you don't have to if you don't want to. I don't want to put you on the spot.
Sure. I'll keep it under 30 minutes.
Excellent.
All right.
And the clouds.
Thank you.
And the sun and the. Okay. All right. Thanks, everybody. It was a great meeting. Wonderful.
Love you.
I'm talking to God. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the moments that we shared. We thank you for letting our hearts be open, and thank you for the shared experiences in a parallel for each one of us, so we could bring up these ideas and tips to help each one of us move forward, but then in turn be able to share with others. And again, I can see us having these types of discussions and groups and seminars with others to be able to have their faith be strengthened, and the mechanics of how do you actually forgive somebody? How do you actually let something go from the past? We work on it, and we appreciate the gifts you've given us. We will use the tools in the future. We look forward to 2024, Father. Please let the nonsense of 23 not come bubbling through. We want to move forward. We want to step through the doorway and be able to understand the new beginning. We look forward to the watchword and being able to help each other, being able to help people that might not even be in our realm or in our days, Father. And we look forward to the faith being strengthened even by that. We love you so much, and we thank you for being with us. We ask this all in your Son's name, Jesus. Amen.
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 Amen. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye. Love you all.
Bye. Love you guys.
Bye. Bye. Bye.